You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
When was the last time you thought about how someone in a wheelchair puts on a pair of jeans? Or how someone with limited mobility gets dressed for work, a wedding, or simply the world? Most of us don't, because most of the world wasn't designed with them in mind. But Dalma Shabalala thought about it deeply, and then she did something bold. She created Werribee Adaptive Wear, a visionary clothing label meeting style with sensitivity, form with function, and dignity with design. Her pieces aren't just garments, they are bridges. They say, you matter. You're not an afterthought. You deserve to feel good in your body, just as it is. Dalma is part entrepreneur, part healer, part disruptor, and 100% purpose in motion. Today, we will be getting a front row seat to this amazing business, but I want you to know that in the tapestry of this conversation is advocacy stitched into fabric. We're immersing ourselves into what happens when a woman sees a gap the world ignores and builds a beautiful solution that makes people feel human again. Get ready to meet a woman whose work is as bold as it is tender and whose entrepreneurial journey is a masterclass in compassion, creativity, and courage. Dalma, welcome to the show.
Omi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. What an introduction.
Listen, I that was just a cover up for if I do start crying or get emotional as we go through this conversation. So if that happens, you and everybody will forgive me, all right?
Oh, definitely.
I want us to start at the heart, Dalma. What problem yes. were you trying to solve when you started Werribee, and why was it personal or important to you?
The problem I was trying to solve was personal.
Yeah.
It was me. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2018.
Yeah.
So over a period of time, I found I couldn't button up my clothes. When I needed the bathroom, it was one of those missions where I have to be in the bathroom within like 3 to 5 minutes.
Mm.
So you find I'd make it to the bathroom. I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And then I can't take them off because of multiple sclerosis, I lost mobility in my fingers.
Mm.
So I don't have much dexterity.
Yeah.
So buttoning up and removing buttons was a very difficult thing.
Mm.
So I'd have to wear maybe just plain t-shirts or tops that have got no openings, like no ears, no buttons.
So it's easier basically. For you.
Yes, that was easier, but it's not stylish.
Of course.
And I'm a stylish person.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I'd have to ask people to come and help me dress up if I needed, like, to wear a shirt.
Mm.
Because sometimes you're going to a function or you're going for a meeting and you need to be in more formal clothing and a t-shirt won't quite, you know, work.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, what can I do to actually make my life easier?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you ask someone to come and help you, they also have got their things that they're doing.
Do.
So they'll say, okay, dear, I'm coming. And then they go and do whatever, and I'm sitting and waiting.
Yo.
And that would make me feel some type of way sometimes.
Sure. For sure.
Yes. So I thought, you know what? I need to make a plan.
Mm.
So I do have background in making clothes.
Okay.
And I am a qualified fashion designer.
All right.
So, I started playing around with my own clothing to see what I could do. So I started with Velcro, and it worked-ish, but not quite.
Yeah, what was missing?
The thing with Velcro is if it tips the other part of the fabric, it actually damages it.
Okay.
It scratches it, it pulls, and some materials were a bit too heavy for it. So it wasn't quite working, and it makes that ch-ch-ch noise. Yeah, so it can be a bit irritating. And
Yes.
if it's something fitted, it actually snaps open. Yeah, so you don't want that. Yeah, so that was the start, basically, of
Yeah.
Werribee.
Now you could have just decided, listen, I'm making clothes for me. Why turn it into a business?
When I'd go to the hospital, because I go to the hospital every 28 days
Ooh.
for a chronic drip, I get some chronic medication every 28 days.
Yeah.
I'd meet other people suffering from multiple sclerosis, MS. Well, they call it MS for short. I'd meet some other people there and we'd be talking, and I found that some of the things I thought were unique to me
Are
were not
actually
unique to me.
common,
They are
yes.
so common, and there are so many people out there who are struggling with just dressing up. And then also, I noticed my son, who's autistic, the mobility is also not that good, or rather, the motor skills are not that good. So dressing up and whatnot was something that took him a while to get. So also you want him to be able to dress himself
For
and to
sure.
remove when he goes to the bathroom, you know. So all of that, and he's also difficult to dress sometimes if he doesn't want to dress up. So you want to be able to snap the clothes on as quick
As
as you
quickly as
possibly
possible.
can.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was, yeah, it was that. So when I realized that actually it's not just me, and my problems are actually not as bad as some of the problems out there, I thought, why not, you know, tap into this gap, because there's a gap. So it's not even just about the money, it's about the functionality and the health, because I know what it feels like
Yes, Dalma.
to not be able to dress yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that you lost mobility in your hands. Does this mean you did have mobility in the beginning? What happened?
Yes, I had my mobility until, okay, maybe now I'm about 42, until about I was about 30. I got some numbness in my hands, but I didn't know what it was. So when I'd go to the doctors, they'll tell me I'm fine, but I can't carry things. I couldn't even carry my baby when he was
Oh
small because I
my.
had weakness in my hands. MS is just another messy condition. So even like now, I cannot write, I cannot fill in forms because I lost that mobility. The nerves are damaged. My nerves are damaged. So I cannot, what you call this? I cannot function properly.
Dalma, were
Yes.
you born with MS and it just gradually regressed? I guess your health gradually regressed or it progressed, or is this something that you just picked up from where you don't even know?
It's something I picked up from where I don't know.
No, how does that
Yes.
work? Have you ever found an explanation?
Yes, I did. There is, like, what can I say? Wear and tear in the brain. So, like, for you to function, basically everything that you do, your brain sends messages through the nerves to whatever body part.
That is so mind-blowing, excuse the pun, but literally our brains are the center of our lives.
Yes, they are definitely.
Yeah.
So I woke up one morning and I was blind.
No.
When we went to the optometrist did all his tests and everything looked fine. So basically, there was nothing wrong with my eyes. What was wrong was the wiring to my eyes. So the eyes were not getting the message from the brain.
Thelma.
So the brain will say, it's time to see, and the eyes do not get the memo.
Yeah.
Yes. So it does that. That's why it's called, well, it's nicknamed the snowflake disease because it keeps changing. One time I was in a wheelchair.
Thelma.
My legs were not walk. Yes, I could not walk. I could not walk. My legs were not responding. And when you go to the doctor says you're fine.
There's nothing wrong with your legs.
Yes, they tell you there's nothing wrong. You're fine. So you start wondering, okay, what is wrong? So that's why even like control of your bladder, you lose that. Control of your bowel movement, you lose that. So at first I didn't know. So when I'd feel like I need the bathroom to pee, I'll tell myself, ah, I'll hold
Yeah,
it. And the body says, no,
no thanks.
you are not gonna hold
Now.
it. Yeah, so that's when I learned that, okay, I have to rush to the bathroom. But then I'd rush to the bathroom and then the hands don't want to open
Oh no,
the
no, Dalma.
Yeah, and imagine how embarrassing that is.
Yes, you're a grown woman.
I'm a grown woman, and maybe I've left home all dressed up looking
Oh,
nice.
because you are stylish, okay?
Yes. So I'm looking all nice there, and then I'm having an accident. How do you explain that?
How do you
And
explain
oh,
it?
yeah, and what does that do to your emotions?
Your
To you emotionally?
self-esteem.
Yes, your self-esteem.
Ah.
I got to a point where I didn't actually want to leave the house
Yes.
because I didn't know what's gonna happen.
Yes.
Yes. So knowing all of that and being through all of that, I understand how a person in a wheelchair feels. Yes. And then also I got to see that even for the caregiver, because there are some conditions where it's really bad that a person cannot have any independence whatsoever. At least if their caregivers can find it easy to dress them, it becomes a bit better. Because also people forget that the caregiver's mental health is
Oh
important.
man, yeah.
It shouldn't be one of those missions where a person is thinking, "Eish, now I have to go and dress that lady. Yo, it's so much work." Yeah. So I started expanding basically and seeing so many different conditions because it's such a huge gap.
It sounds like it.
It is a huge gap. I even started repurposing people's clothing, what they have already. So you
Brilliant
find like
woman.
our elderly ladies wearing their bras is difficult. Most of them can't lift their hands anymore, and to try and strap them on from the back is difficult. And to be honest, those bras were invented long ago.
Long ago.
Yes, when people used to be dressed.
And the truth is,
Yes.
mainstream everything is never created with people with disabilities in mind. Or there's never a
Yes.
design, houses, clothes, nothing.
Nothing, nothing. Yeah. So now I close the back and I open the front and I put magnetic buttons for them there to make it easy for them to be able to dress themselves.
And I'm going to ask one last question about MS, and then we'll get back into therapy and the business of it
Okay.
all.
Okay.
Does this condition mean your body is just gradually deteriorating? And I don't know, I don't even know if that's the right word to use. And before you
Yes.
answer the question, you know, earlier I was with a friend, mentor, former boss of mine, and she was asking me something that she knows about me, right? But she didn't realize how much it had progressed or how much I had regressed. So I've got an autoimmune condition.
Yes.
And mine is manifesting as alopecia, right? And I was just saying to her,
Okay.
it's been 10 years, and you know, I thought treatment could help and whatever, and it's gotten worse. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And you mentioned earlier that when you went to the hospital, you went there with the mindset of, oh, I've got such big problems. Oh, my life is so miserable.
Yes.
And you got there and you thought, oh, ugh.
Woe is me.
And you know, now that I'm having this conversation with you, I'm getting that
Yes.
perspective of
Yes.
So does MS mean your body is just gradually falling apart?
Yes, there are different types of MS.
Okay.
There's a progressive MS,
Yeah.
which basically you deteriorate until you become in a vegetative state.
How does that even work? Come on.
And then there is relapsing, which is what I have, where the symptoms come and go. But then with that one, it can be managed such that it doesn't progress too fast. You can slow down the progression, but it never gets better. With the medication I get, it doesn't make me better, it just slows down the progression. So all the symptoms I've had before, they don't go away.
Thank
So
you.
basically, they come and go, come and go, come and go.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I cannot imagine that it is easy to go there with everybody, but I really appreciate what you've shared, and I think understanding that context makes this brand and this story and this business that much even more meaningful, right? It's rich, it's got depth, and even if the situation wasn't this bad, the fact that there was a gap and you filled it and it's making people's lives better, that for me is just amazing. Now, I don't know what the origins of the name Werapi is, but as I'm hearing you speak to me, it sounds like wear therapy combined. Was that the idea you had?
Yes, because you know what, with everybody, even yourself, when you are dressed nicely in a beautiful dress, it makes you feel good.
It really does.
Yes, if you're going for a meeting where you need to wear a power suit, that power suit helps your confidence. If you're going to some wedding or a romantic function where you have to be all pretty and nice florals and whatnot, that helps set the mood.
For sure.
Yes. So basically, it was just a play on what you wear is therapy. Yes.
And you know, because for people with full mobility and who are able-bodied, clothing is, well, we think about it because we want to look good, but we never really think about the intricacy of functionality and all of that. And so, if there's one less thing to worry about because somebody has thought about what you wear, that is some form of therapy, I really believe.
Yes, definitely.
So,
And what I wanted to do was to make sure I make mainstream clothing
Yebo.
functional for people with conditions. So I didn't want jackets that when a person's wearing a jacket, people say, oh, he's wearing a wheelchair jacket. Or he's wearing a what you call this, a wheelchair pants. It should not tell a story that you don't want to tell.
Oh, that is so profound. It should not tell a story that you don't want to tell.
Yes.
Also, this doesn't mean now you continue to fade in the background, because I think that might be thoughts that come with a lot of people with disabilities, that the world is blind to their needs and their existence.
Yes, hey. And
Yeah.
this and sadly though, the world
This
is
is
blind to that.
true.
And unfortunately, the thing I realized about it is some things you need to go through to understand.
Oh, Dalma. Oh, it couldn't have been anybody to create this brand.
Yes,
But
I
then
think
how do you
it's.
reconcile that? How do you reconcile that experience with, because here's the truth, right? And I love this company so much because it really speaks to purpose and profession combined, right? How do you reconcile that for you to actually fully step into your gift and service to humanity? You had to go through such an experience.
You know, I just think God, you know, it's an act of God. It's an act of God. God knew that, okay, this girl is creative. She likes, and I think out of the box. You will be surprised some of the places I put zips. You wouldn't, you know. I remember I was telling one of my clients, her son is in a wheelchair. He's paraplegic. And I was telling her, no, to make it easy for him, I'll put some zips like in the center like of the legs. I don't know how to explain that. Yes. And she's like, no, but he's a young guy. You know, we don't want him to stand out. I was like, you know what? You'll see. It will not show at all. And also, it will actually look stylish. And when she saw them, she's like, wow. So I think God allowed the image to happen to me because he knew I would be in a position to think out the box and do what needs to be done. Yes.
Talk us through your very first piece of adaptive clothing. What was it? Who was it for? And what did it teach you?
Okay, my very first piece was my own piece, which was a shirt, the one I started with the Velcro, and I loved it. It worked well. I put the Velcro and put buttons at the top so that it still looks like a normal blouse, but there's Velcro underneath. So I was able to dress myself in it. Yes. And then when I saw that the Velcro was messing up the other fabric, I actually went around looking for magnetic buttons. And I found magnetic buttons. But the magnetic buttons that we have here in Africa are heavy because they are basically for wallets and purses. So they're pretty heavy. So now the fabric that you use has to be a bit heavier. It's easier if you use them on heavier fabric. On lighter fabric, they will make that blouse or shirt droop or like hang in a, you know, because they'll be pulling down. Yes, so I've had to research to see where I could get slimmer magnetic buttons and stuff like that. So I found that like in China.
Of course.
Yes. So that was the first one, and then the very next thing was a jacket where I put zips by the sleeves, along the sleeves, like so when I go for a drip on a cold day, I don't have to take the whole thing off. We just open, they've got access to my veins, and then after that, we can actually still zip it up and let, you know, the drip pipe out on the other side. Yes.
Oh, the innovation. The innovation is exciting me so much. Now let's talk business. With the time that we have left, let's talk business. Business, Delma, is hard for people
Very.
whose brands fit the traditional mold. Now I can imagine it is 10 times harder for you who is doing something so unorthodox and not thought of by most, right? So how are you finding building this brand, marketing what you do, and really just getting buy-in?
Very difficult. It's been very difficult because firstly, people don't know what adaptive clothing is. So I did some market research. I got some marketing people to help me with some market research. And we found most people, when you'd ask them what adaptive clothing is, some would think maybe it's clothing that will change color or become transformer like somewhere. It was just, So awareness. There's little awareness. And also I realized that people are not aware that dressing can actually be a problem for other people. So we had to target like schools for disability. And also I had to like change the structure of the business instead of starting clothes from scratch, because remember, most of these people have been collecting their clothes for a couple of years. So now you're coming and saying, okay, I've got new clothes that will
Get rid of
work.
your wardrobe.
Now what happens to the rest of their clothes? So what I decided was to say, okay, guys, bring those clothes that you have and I will repurpose them, which is what I've been doing. So I will make some from scratch, but some we will repurpose.
So you mentioned,
And no, and I've got a team who at first thought I was just crazy. Because when I said, let's put a zipper here, they're like, no, you can't put
No,
a zipper
that's
there. I'm
never
like,
been done.
let's just try it. And when we try it and it works out, they're like, oh, okay.
But then again, you understand the needs of the clients better than they do.
Although now, because they've been exposed to it, they also can actually think out the box. And I'm actually happy that sometimes they'll actually what you call this, suggest that no, but dear, what if we put the zip this side and what if we do this? Don't you think this will work? And they're now mindful to ask that, is this person left-handed or right-handed? Which hand is like working for them? Which hand doesn't work? So that we put the zip on the right side and whatnot, you know, that sort of stuff. So what I realized with that is people just need exposure. They needed exposure.
And I'm so happy you brought up the team, because that was going to be my next question, right? Given that, yes, you've got background in fashion and in designing, of course now you're limited by your lack of mobility, right? And so with your team, who do you have in your team? How are you organized? What role do you play, and what role do your other team members play?
Okay, I design and choose the fabrics because we have to be very careful with our fabric choices. And then we make a prototype. I've got Ste. Stembile, she helps me. She's a co-designer as well. And funny enough, she's left-handed like me.
And you say design, and in my mind, when I think fashion and design, I'm thinking about a sketch that you need to draw. So how are you designing?
We sketch, there's the sketching, but we don't do most the sketching. We manipulate basic blocks. Like there's a basic pattern, like a basic pattern, like say for a pencil skirt. From that, we can come up with any other design sketch. We can manipulate and do the calculations. But you need to be careful with your calculations because if you're off with a centimeter, it can mess up the whole pattern. So you'll find people saying, oh no, you know, that dressmaker doesn't know how to make clothes.
And then your whole
It's not
brand
that.
is
It's,
gone.
yes, it's because maybe they chose the wrong fabric or they got 1 centimeter wrong somewhere. Yes. So we'll do that and we'll talk. And because we've been working together for, I think, 4 years now, 3, 4 years. Yes. Yeah, going on 4 years. We've been working together. We can sit and I'll actually point, show. And like now, I found ways around certain things like threading a sewing machine. If I've got a tweezer, that helps, I can. And then on a bad day, I'll just ask somebody else to just thread it for me. And then, of course, we've got some of our seamstresses who help out with the sewing. So once we make the prototype, then if we see that the design is actually working or doing what we're thinking it will do, then we'll produce. Yes. And then if it's like repurposing, usually the things that we repurpose are already from stuff that we've tried before. So like we know that, okay, if we put zips by the sides, because we've done that on other pants, we know it can actually work. Yes.
And your clientele, who is your clientele? You mentioned earlier that you'd go to schools. Who currently is your clientele, and how do you actually get your customers?
I've met them at so many different functions that I've been invited to. I've been invited to the dementia function. So there, there's the older, is the older, what do you call this?
Yes, the older
The older
population.
population, yes. So it's usually the older patients and then the parents of people with disability or condition or special needs, basically. Yes.
And I want to talk about profit, right? Because a business
Yes.
without profits is just an expensive homie. Now, when people think about profits, they normally go for people with big pockets, right? You would
Yes.
want to work with a corporate because you know that the checks there are nice and juicy, or you want to work with government
Yes.
because you know you can just inflate your prices and they won't look at it
Yes.
twice, right? So in your case, your clients normally are limited in firstly the work that they can do, and some may even be incapacitated to do work.
Yes.
So when you think about what your customers are capable of doing and the finances that they then have, how do you manage still serving a need but also being profitable as a company?
I try and find like the easier way. Like now with the repurposing works out cheaper than making
Oh,
than me
that makes
making the
sense.
clothes from scratch. Yes. So depending on the particular client, for a client who can afford, because you find like those with a support system, like the parents of kids or the children of dementia patients, for example, they want their parents to look good when going for a wedding, or they want their parents to have dignified clothing. Because you know, like dementia patients have a tendency of undressing. So I've made some dignity jumpsuits.
Oh, I love that.
So you'll find most of their support can actually afford to buy that for them. And my prices are not crazy. And I try and buy my fabrics in bulk. It works out cheaper if you buy a fabric in bulk. And I try and go to places like the Joburg CBD. You'll find fabrics are slightly cheaper. Yes. So I try and find ways to cut costs as well so that for the end user it's not too much. Because for me, one thing I'm passionate about, or rather one thing I worry about, is that clothes should not break bank.
They shouldn't.
Because already if there's a condition, believe me, that person is wasting or using a lot of money.
Oh, we believe you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That person's already using so much money
Yeah.
just in what can I say, in taking care of themselves
In
or
trying
being
to
taken care
live.
of.
Yeah.
Yes. So now close would not break bank. Yes, so I try my best. So I will not lie to you and say I'm gonna be a millionaire anytime soon, but I'm managing to break even.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just managing to barely managing to break even.
Is that enough for you, Dalma?
For me right now, it is, because it's
Yeah.
very fulfilling.
Yeah.
There is nothing as fulfilling as
Yeah.
a client dressing up
Yeah.
and managing to dress themselves or calling me. I remember the one client called me. She's also in a wheelchair and she's paraplegic and has limited mobility in her hands. So she's prone to accidents when she wants to go to the bathroom. She called me. I made her a pair of jeans. And she called me to say, D, the jeans, I am so happy. It was so easy for her caregiver to remove them without making a mess. So when someone like that calls for me,
That's
it
the
makes my
work.
day.
That's the
It's
work.
worth it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was, it's worth it.
Dalma, for entrepreneurs listening, especially those from underserved communities or working in overlooked sectors, what advice do you have about building something different?
I'd advise them to be fearless, to research, try and research as much as you possibly can,
Yeah.
and think out of the box.
Yeah.
Yes,
What does success
that would
look
be.
like for Werope in 5 to 10 years? How big is the dream? Is there a dream? And I'm going to tell you why I'm asking, is there a dream, right? Because I was talking to my mentor last night and I was saying
Yes.
to her, we get told, even in church, dream big, God
Yes.
will fulfill those dreams. And when you read the Bible, there is absolutely no account of anyone who dreamt and gave God the dream to say, yo, here's the bill. Instead, God is the one who gave his servants or his people the dream and carried it
Yes.
out. So sometimes when I think of 10-year, 5-year plans, I normally second think or not even continue with the thoughts because I'm just like, our steps should be ordered by God, right? But
Yes.
this work also, I can imagine you haven't done the most that you can. You haven't reached frontiers that you know you
Definitely.
can. So when you think about Werope in 5 to 10 years, what does success look like for the brand?
Success for me is having a chain of stores in different cities,
Yes.
towns, like with ready-to-wear clothing. I want
Yes.
people with special needs and disability and just anybody to be able to just walk in and buy what they want. Because right now, there is nothing like that
There
on the market.
isn't,
They
yeah.
cannot walk into a shop and just say, okay, I want to buy jeans that will be functional. I want there to be shops where they can actually just walk in, choose, okay, I want jeans or I want shorts, and find what they need.
Yeah.
Yes,
What will help
that's
us,
my dream.
What will help us get to that dream sooner? Is it funding? Is it publicity? In your mind, what will get us to the 5 years and the 10 years as not as quickly as possible because we can't rush time, but what will help us get there such that when the 5 years comes, we are actually where you are dreaming of right now?
Publicity and funding.
Yeah.
Publicity, because people need to be aware.
Yes.
People need to be aware of the problem
Yeah.
and aware of the brand.
Yeah.
And I'm actually hoping that will also bring up competition. I know it sounds stupid for somebody to
I
say they
get
want
it.
competition,
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
cannot cover all
You
conditions by
can't.
myself. But there is a gap, and there are
Yeah.
so many people out there who
Yeah.
need. So that, and then funding, because some of the fabrics, some of the contraptions that we need, we get from China, and that takes money. Yes.
And finally, what do you want the world to understand about the power of adaptive clothing?
Adaptive clothing empowers the wearer, the caregiver. It will make people confident, and it's good for your mental health.
It's therapy.
It's therapy. It's good for your mental health. You know, like going to the bathroom should not
Oh,
be
no, it
a
shouldn't.
nightmare.
No.
Going
No.
to clean somebody who has had an accident should not be a nightmare. Or dressing someone you're taking care of should not be a nightmare, and it should not be something, because that's why you end up getting people in bad moods all the time.
Yes, and it's got nothing to
Because,
do with you. They've just been through a lot getting out of the house.
yes, I've been through so much. You know, I'll tell you a quick story, a very quick one. One of my clients is an amputee. You know, he wears a prosthetic leg. He says every day to put on, he has to wear two pairs of trousers because those prosthetics damage the trousers. So he has to put one underneath and then another one on top. And then sometimes that prosthetic may move for whatever reason. Now he has to, if he's in a mall, he has to walk all the way to the bathroom to go and try and fix that. And I've put zips on the inner part of the leg so he can actually just sit down and zip up to his like knee and fix his
And
leg
try and
and clothes
fix,
and padded the trousers so he doesn't have to wear two pairs of pants.
Dalma. I'm trying to I'm toggling between excitement and tears.
Yeah, so it's a lot. It's a lot. And people see him walking. People saw him having lunch one time. He was wearing shorts. They couldn't even address him. The waiters couldn't address him. They were asking the person next to him to say, what would he like to eat? Just because they've seen that prosthetic leg, they think he can't
He
think.
can't
And yet,
speak.
disability doesn't mean that. So it's a lot.
You know, when I started this conversation, I said that the work you do merges dignity with design. And
Yes.
the more I've been listening to the story and how you're running the business, the more I'm convinced that people now have their dignity back because we really treat people with disabilities differently. You know, you just broke something in me in that there's chatter that goes around that, yo, people with disabilities are so always frustrated, they're short-tempered,
Yes.
they're always fighting. But now I understand better that what is a 2 minute get ready, get out of the house for me is firstly, it takes so much longer for somebody with disability, but even in
Yes.
taking that much longer, it's frustrating. Your body should
Very.
be responding, but it's not.
Yes.
It's not. It feels like the ultimate betrayal.
Yes, it does. It does. It does.
Dalma, what you've built with Werribee is more than a business. At this point, for me, it's sounding like a blueprint, right, of how we can restore the dignity back into the lives of those with disability. You've reminded us that purpose-led innovation doesn't always come with loud headlines or billion-dollar valuation, like you admitted. Sometimes it comes stitched in cotton, designed with care, and worn by somebody who finally feels seen.
Is people need to be seen.
Yeah, this conversation for me was more than adaptive clothing. I know that you do adaptive clothing, but what I heard from you was adaptive thinking.
You
create from empathy, you lead with intention, you're building a business that serves those who are often overlooked in society. And I just want to talk to people who are listening, who are thinking that maybe their idea might not be big enough, or whether their passion will be profitable enough. Dalma's journey should remind you that if it meets a need, if it restores dignity, if it changes even one person's life, then it's already powerful beyond measure. Dalma, I'm cheering you on. I'm really hoping that, you know, tonight people have a fire lit in their belly and they will continue to do work that really changes the world like you are changing the world. I'm sorry that it's come at such great pain to you and for you, but I'm also so glad that you turned it into a powerful, wonderful story that hasn't just changed your life, but is changing the lives of those who need it most. God bless the work that you do.
Oh, thank you.
That funding and that publicity, in Jesus' name, I am calling it out.
Yes, no, you know what?
Yeah.
There's a song we used to sing when I was younger.
Yeah.
That he'll never put more on me
than
I can bear.
Oh.
And so I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know that, you know what? You know, I could have at first I could have cried, or rather I was crying,
or
to
just
say,
given
God,
up.
But why give me MS? But I've learned so much.
Yes.
Through the MS. I've learned so much. I've met so many wonderful people.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not the best thing to go through, but if I had not gone through it, I would not be where I am today.
And some people would go unserved, not even underserved, unserved.
That is true.
I know that somebody who's listening to this knows somebody who has a disability of sorts, or would probably have just been speaking to somebody with MS or any other disability. Where do they find you? How do they get your clothing? How do they get you to repurpose their clothing?
Okay, we're based in Four Ways.
Yeah.
At Four Ways Junction. Close to the Leaping Frog.
Yeah.
They can actually come there, but they can actually get in touch with me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a page, where a PZA.
Yeah.
And if they send me a DM, we can get chatting.
Yeah.
Or they can call me or WhatsApp me on 083-772-1549.
Mm-hmm.
If they WhatsApp me, we will find a solution to whatever problem you have.
Oh.
Clothing wise.
I love that confidence. Because it's real, right? You're not just saying it, you've done it, and it's helping people.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it.
Yes.
I enjoy it. The challenge is just amazing.
Oh, Dalma, you are one phenomenal woman. And I really pray that God takes you from glory to glory, grace to grace, and to places you could have never even imagined for yourself. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a lovely evening.
You too. Have a lovely one.
Cheers, Dalma.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. I thought I was going to cry. And I didn't even know the story, but as I was preparing a conversation, I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But maybe coming into this not ready is exactly what I needed. And I really hope that this conversation sparked something in you, that it got you thinking about what you are not doing and what that means for the person who needs you. What is it that God has put in your reach to do? What has He put in your heart to do? What do you know you have to do with your life, with your story, with your hands, with your mind? Somebody needs you. You can't wallow in your pain forever. Use it for God's glory. Use it for your liberation. Use it for the liberation of others. God's not done with you. In fact, this might just be the beginning for you. I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.